Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Okay, very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone. Sorry about the delay, but we fixed something yesterday with my geek, good guy geek, and evidently something got changed, and so just got in touch with him, so sorry for that. I need to go on quickly and take off that little notice on the front page as I'm talking. Let's see if I can do that and talk at the same time. Probably not. Pretty much lucky I can sit and have a sip of a tea or something like that and talk at the same time. It is Wednesday, the 13th of February. It's good to be here with you. This is a special edition of The Real World of Money, as you, well, you may not know. I mean, well, you might know. Anyway, Andrew Goss went on his cosmic vacation, suddenly a tragic kind of a thing. Oh, I don't even know, remember the date, but it was three weeks ago or so, and so we're just kind of doing the best we can till we figure out exactly what we're going to do long-term with The Real World of Money. So in the short term, I'm coming on every Wednesday and just kind of filling you in on the scoop of some things from various sources that I have learned from Andy over the 11 years, some of the good spots to find stuff, and give you that these updates, because these are a lot of things that you don't even get anywhere else, regardless. And you know, mostly I just do the headlines and stuff. I certainly don't have anywhere near the analysis that he does, and I really miss talking to him and asking him, say, what is that? You know, really miss saying, well, what does that mean? Because that's exactly what I did. And we just look at all these different stories around the country and then ask him how it fit in with everything. And well, he would certainly have some very cool opinions, and they always kind of made sense to me. And so we all miss him for sure. But we press on with life, you know, life goes on, we do it, and rock and roll. And so we'll see. If you care to participate in the show, before we play our special show for today, it is 888-663-6386. Lines are always open. And PalsoPatrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. We have a really cool show to play for you here in a few minutes after I wrap this up. As you know, Social Security is not anything as it has been said it is, with the way since the unified budget back in 67 is when President Lyndon Baines Johnson decided to put all the money in one pile instead of, but you'll hear it on the show, but just a short version, instead of taking the Social Security money and leaving it in a trust fund and then working out of that, LBJ in his infinite wisdom, they did some kind of unified budget deal. Well, I think he probably just did an executive order. I'm not sure Andy would know. It doesn't matter at this point, but that's what he did. And then ever since then, they've just kind of globbed all the money together. And one of the most hilarious ones, was in 70 or 97 or 96, 98 with Bill Clinton. And all of the lefties out there still to this day say, well, I can remember in the late 90s how Bill Clinton had a surplus, and he went on TV and told everybody he had a surplus, and you know, and it was just a big lie. He didn't have any surplus. He was counting all the money coming in from the payroll taxes, which at that point was, I think it was about 7 or 8%, half and half from the employer and the employee. So he just, you know, he was just lying. And he had a surplus because he put all the money together in one pile, right? The Social Security and Medicare money, and then the tax revenue. And then in 86, as you'll hear, Greenspan came in and said, you know, we've done the math, and this thing is not going to do well, and by 2011 or so, it's going to be belly up. Of course, he was lying too, because he didn't tell anybody that they were just taking the money anyway, so there wasn't any trust fund. So to suggest that the trust fund was going to go south in 2011 and we need to raise the taxes, that was another lie, because there wasn't any trust fund. And if they had a trust fund and were investing it, can invest in anything, you wouldn't have to raise the taxes. But they raised the taxes to 7.5%, which is what we pay today, that you pay, and then your employer pays 7.5%. So it's a 15% hit out of everybody's paycheck that goes into the general fund now. So a lot of cool things with Social Security. So we're going to play that show in a flash and give you an idea of what's going on. Let's go over some of the stuff happening this morning, some of the research that I did. These are things that in one way or another generally are going to affect the value of the dollar, and hence your purchasing power in the years to come, and also inflation. Because generally, as Andy taught us, generally as more debt is put out there, oftentimes the debt is going to have to be extinguished through what they call quantitative easing, or printing from the Federal Reserve, that the government's going to have to borrow, and that increases the money supply, and then that lowers the value of the dollar, and then gold and silver and other commodities generally go up because of that. Consumer credit has hit an all-time high of $4 trillion after some wild swings. Consumer credit normalized, rising $16.6 billion, no, $22 billion. So now we are just above $4 trillion for the first time ever. This is consumer debt, and a big hit of that, revolving credit increase. So people are borrowing money on credit cards and stuff. And students and car loans, they are still going up. Car loans are going down and student loans are going up. So Andy had suggested at one point that the student loan thing is going to get monetized somewhere along the line, especially if socialist gets in there in 2020 or 2024 or whatever, then you know that they'll just get rid of the student loan debt, and they'll just print the money at the Fed and then borrow the 1.5 or whatever it will be, and then just pay it off, because they'll say, you kids just really need to have free education, because that's the way socialists think. Amazon is reconsidering their New York headquarters site, as there's a whole lot of opposition up there. People were buying property, and it was just going crazy. Kind of like in the movies when they know a big casino's going in somewhere, all the inside boys, buy property at the casino or whatever they're going to put in. It happens all over the country. Or a convention center, or something like that, or a ballpark, and all the connected people know way long before, so they go in and buy property and stuff like that. It's not insider trading, but it really is, but doesn't count. They gave a huge tax incentive package that would ultimately shell out about $61,000 for each of the 25,000 jobs Amazon promised to create. Total revenue package was about $3 billion. So they gave Amazon, they were going to give Amazon $3 billion in tax breaks to come in to New York area. I'm not sure exactly where it was. Do you all know? Queens. Wow. Yeah. They may scrap the whole idea. There's just a lot of pushback. They don't even want them there. So Bezos is saying, well, maybe we'll just go somewhere else. So that sometimes works. I can remember quite a few years ago, about 15 years ago, they were going to put a big housing thing about 8 miles from me, near the big Highway 290 that comes into my area. And right on the corner, beautiful land, all rolling hills and stuff. It's still vacant to this day. And housing place that had really cheapo houses, I forget their name, but you know the kind where they go in and they build them 2 feet apart, and they're pretty crappy houses, and you know, just, you know, it's just, and you know, people are building huge and, you know, really pretty upstanding houses out this way, and it's just, you know, there goes the neighborhood thing. But it was also traffic, and it was just a bad move. And just we start putting out signs and getting people out to the meeting, commissioners meeting, and we had hundreds of people out there just telling we didn't want this to happen for so many reasons. And we got some environmentalists out there to say the watershed couldn't handle this, and where would the sewer come? I mean, it wasn't well planned out. They were just going to dump it in there. And they actually, after about 3 or 4 weeks, they come in and they came to a meeting. They said, well, if this many people don't want us in here, we're just going to pull out. And they did. And that's the way it worked. So evidently, this is what Bezos is doing. And he probably has a better place anyway. And so this is a good way out. This is a little preemptive kind of chat before we're going to play a show all about Social Security. We put together two or three shows, put some clips together, and we'll be doing that in the weeks to come for a while until we figure out exactly what we'll do long term. Who knows? Before Wednesday. And so it'll give you kind of a best of show where we have two or three shows and we'll pick out a certain subject or whatever. I'm not sure. These came from various years. I think there's two or three shows that we put in this one. Let me have a drink of this. Hold on. You know, from time to time, Andrew and I had talked about the global eye. I used to call him a global eye, and Andrew would always, he liked the term internationalist, it's kind of cool too, internationalist. And you know, we learned and we have learned and we can see very clearly over the couple of years since President Trump has been in, and even before, of course, that these globalists, these internationalists, these are the people that are really against President Trump and everything that he stands for, because what he stands for is exactly opposite of what they stand for. And the globalists would be people such as the big banks, of course, and then the Federal Reserve Bank and the Central Bank, European Central Bank, and the BIS, Bank of International Settlements, IMF, you know, the big boys, the money boys, you know, up there into the Rothschild clan and the old money, you know, the Bush, Clinton, they're globalists, you know, Obama, they're all globalists. And they're all being kind of, in my opinion, they are being all controlled by these globalists, and you know, which is, that's who put in George 43 and his father and Bill Clinton and President Obama. And somehow, I don't know, maybe they were just drinking too much scotch and didn't believe their own polls, and that's how President Trump got it. So everything that he wants to do, which is, you know, closed borders, tariffs, free market competition, like with pharmacies that he mentioned in Mexico and Canada. And so the big pharma and big agriculture and, you know, the AMA and, you know, Archer Daniel Midland and Monsanto, and then the military industrial complex, these people are all globalists. And they like to keep things just the way they are. Apple wants to be able to make an iPhone, pay people $2 a day in China and not pay any taxes when they bring it in, no tariffs. And they bring a lot of stuff in through Ireland, as Andrew taught us. And then Ireland doesn't have a very high tax rate, and they pay their taxes there. And then Cupertino buys the iPhones from Ireland, and then that's what they pay their taxes on. And, you know, if President Trump's put in more tariffs, he could put in a tariff on the stuff coming in from Ireland too, and then that would make... So these are globalists, and Google and Apple and all these big people, Microsoft, and they just want to leave everything the way they are, and they love open borders. because it gives them, you know, to keep the salaries down. That's one of the biggest reasons, Andrew taught us that the more and more people that can come in undocumented and unregulated, the more you see them out building homes and everywhere around the country, and nobody says anything about it, and you know, you pay them $10 an hour, and you don't have to pay a carpenter $40. And you know, this is you know why they like the open borders. Just one of the reasons. And then also, since the globalists have co-opted the brains and the minds and hearts of most left-leaning people, then the left gets you know a lot more votes, because generally people from outside the country vote more Democrat and more liberal, because they've also been talked into the idea that they're the compassionate ones, and the nationalists like President Trump or the mean guys, and you know, and of course that's what they're using to try to stop the wall, is to that walls are immoral and you can't keep people out and blah blah. So that's the whole thing that's going on now. So there is news out this morning that President Trump, they've announced that he is going to most likely do an executive order to build this wall. And he says in a tweet this morning that he can probably get $20 billion to to get the wall. And you just take money, because as a president, you can do that with an executive order. And they've done a lot of executive orders, and they just do it. So other than not, so he doesn't have to declare a state of emergency, he's now, folks are saying that he's just going to do, people from the White House are beginning to leak it, he's just going to do an executive order and grab money wherever he can, and then just do the wall. And if I get his tweet up here, oh, he didn't say anything. Huh. I read it on a news story. I didn't read it on a tweet. But that's the story out this morning. So we'll follow that for you, and we'll see. One of the biggest issues that most of the economists around the world are talking about is the biggest problem, the biggest challenge coming up for the world economy, and we're tied in, of course, with that, is Europe. And so some of the things going on with Europe are the Brexit thing continues to fall apart. Now they're, you know, who knows what's going to happen over there, if they're ever going to. Andy's always said they're never going to let these guys out. It's kind of like the mafia. Once you get in, they're not going to let them out of this European Union, the Maastricht Treaty. They're never going to let them out, and they're just going to, you know, kick their hiney until they relent and say, no, that's okay, we're just not going to leave. So that's a big problem. And then Italy continues to have all kinds of issues. The ECB wants to hammer them for not going way over budget. And I think they've made some kind of a deal there. On a few days ago, Salvini, who's the head dude in Italy, he's seen global populism, you know, and government intervention and all this stuff going on over there. You know, this is a thing that's happening all over the world, this populist nationalist movement, the yellow vest, you know, the people that President Trump is relating to and is talking to, his base, if you will, more nationalist and populist. This is going on all over the world. In France, of course, with the yellow vest, happening in Germany, and they want to kick Merkel out because she wants open borders and the people over there don't want them. So this is kind of and it's happening in Italy too. People are wanting to talk about Italy getting out and getting back to the Italian lira, getting off the euro. So Europe is in a very big state of flux. Deutsche Bank, more news out. I mean, how long have we been talking about Deutsche Bank on the Real World of Money? I mean, it goes back years. This is the biggest bank in the world, Deutsche Bank, and just just crazy what they have. And they said, I think it was four. Oh, I shouldn't even say the number because I don't remember. I'd have to look at my notes. 45 trillion, just crazy an amount of derivatives. I mean, they're just bet after bet after bet. They're probably just doubling down. The high spreads reflects Deutsche's high idiosyncratic risk, which is rooted in the lender's chronic weakness in earnings. A key priority is now lowering our funding costs and improving our credit rating. Deutsche Bank just keeps going lower and lower in credit rating. They're just continue to lose more money, continue to make bets that are not, I don't know who's making these bets. So Deutsche Bank is something to look at for the whole European thing. Italy's populist leader, Salvini, he seems set on shaking up Europe's financial establishment to its core back again, one day after the Italian deputy prime minister and leader of the League Party called for the elimination of Italy's central bank and the country's financial regulator, saying the institution should be reduced to zero. More than changing one of two people could do it for them. And he said the gold is the property of the Italian people, not anyone else, Salvini said in comments. So he's going after the gold. He's really getting down to the nitty-gritty. Isn't it fascinating? There's, you know, all the stuff going on around the world. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, here's that story. Let me go over that quickly here on the wall. Looks like President Trump has decided on a middle path that will allow him to keep the government open while getting more of his border wall built than Congress had initially authorized. According to Washington Post, well, you know, that's a Bezos thing, and they hate President Trump, so who knows if this is true or not, but we'll read it anyway. According to WaPo, Trump will use an executive order to reallocate federal funds to finance the wall, or at least something more than 55 miles that the compromise bill would finance. That's all committee that's gotten together, that's all they've agreed to do is 55 miles. So as you can imagine, President Trump's not happy with that one. So now they're saying White House spokesman quoted by Fox insisted that Trump has alternative options for his border wall deal, and which doesn't involve shutting down the government or declaring martial law or you know, doing a national emergency. He reportedly will set aside his dissatisfaction and vote for the bill anyway. Vote for the bill that they give him and then just add the rest with a executive order. So, okay, there's a wall thing. Let's go over the numbers before we play the show. What else we got here? Stock market's up 174 points. Gold is up $5 this morning, over 1,300. Silver's up 1,581. The dollar is at 96.91. Still pretty high. Crude is up $1 at 103. Oh, George says, thanks for doing this. We're enjoying the updates and also the best of shows. What do you think about President Trump's wanting to withdraw from Syria and Afghanistan? Isn't that also poking the giant in the eye? Yeah, I suspect so. Good point. Very good point. President Trump has already said he wants to pull these good dudes out of Syria. We know from past shows that Syria has been about the gas pipeline. And, you know, the whole Russian combination gas pipeline thing has got nothing to do with ISIS or anything like that. Maybe President Trump knows that, and maybe that's why he's pulling it out. I'm not sure. And then he's talking about pulling the whole deal out, pulling the plug on Afghanistan, 20-year-old war that, in our opinion, my opinion, the only reason they're there is because of the strategic location of Afghanistan, which is why Russia wanted to get in there 20 years ago and got kicked out. Also, the rare earth minerals, which Afghanistan is loaded with, all this new techie stuff, including hybrid cars need these rare earth minerals, and Afghanistan is loaded. They have a lot of gold. And then, of course, there's the opiates, the poppies. A huge pharmaceutical thing that the boys, the global eye, are trying to protect. And that's why they're over there, too. They're protecting the fields because they need this. They like people on heroin, so they make them stupid. And then also you need the opiates for all the drugs that they're selling legally. So that's what it's about, in my opinion. And I think President Trump's opinion, and he wants to pull it out. And his big top brass guys, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, they don't like it because they are, in my opinion, and Andrew's opinion, they are chosen by the globalists, the boys. You don't get in those jobs unless you're handpicked by the internationalists. You don't get to be head of the Army, head of the Navy. He's got four people, right? Head of the Army, the Marines. Those are his advisors in the green room you've seen in the movies. The room, what do they call that thing? Whatever. War room. And they pick those, so you don't get in that job unless they pick you. And so they don't like them, so because they like war, and they're controlled by the military-industrial complex, in my opinion. So I think that's it. That's about it. That's about it. Let's see, Bitcoin, 3,659, and I think that's about it. Okay, so sorry about we were late this morning. We just had a little whoop-de-doop here thing we had to do, and we figured it out. So this is a special show that we put. I think we got pieces of three different shows over the years, and it gives you a real good, nice rundown of Andy's opinion of what's going on in Social Security. These are all commercial-free because we're putting them up on YouTube. So do remember, because we don't haven't done any commercials, but we need to keep the cash flow going to keep this thing going. So anything that you need in the way of nutrients, of services, Andrew Goss's company is sponsoring this show, which is SDL. His number is 800-468-2646, 800-468-2646. Company is doing well, as well as they can be expected with Andrew leaving so suddenly, who was kind of the head guy, but he's got a very well-educated and long-time trusted friend, Fred Duchesky. Probably not saying that right, but I met Fred several times. He's a cool guy. He and Andrew were like brothers, and he's running the place with their staff that have been there a long time, and they're there to serve you. If you're interested in gold and silver, numismatic coins, real American money, and they can help you. They're not going to try to sell you a bunch of stuff that you don't need. That's just not the way they do it. Talk to them about your personal situation. If you understand the monetary system, if you've heard and learned over the last 11 years, we believe, and Andrew believed, and all of us here believe that there's nothing that the boys are going to do anything differently. The only tool they really have in their toolkit, to put it very simply, is to keep creating money to kick the can down the road and just adding zeros. And as they create more dollars, gold and silver will go up because that's the way it works. More dollars chasing a fixed amount of goods. And so long term, we think gold and silver are good plays, really good plays. Long term, 5 years, 10 years from now, could be super duper plays, who knows? And then the numismatic value is always going to be there because there's only so many made. So that's the company, SDL, 800-468-2646. And then OneRadioNetwork.com. You need anything for your health and your well-being, go on our website, look in our store, try some of the different products, Living Streams, the Pearlseum, Sulfur, those kind of things. And that's our bread and butter, all those things, Daniel Vitalis, Shen Blossom, and when you order things, Andrea Seed Oils, then we get a commission. That's how we support ourselves. So appreciate your ongoing support. I love you all very much. We'll see you tomorrow. We have a good show for you tomorrow. Dr. Thomas Levy is one guest. He's a great guy, and he's going to be here. So we're going to have fun. So enjoy the show on Social Security, and we'll see you tomorrow live at 9 o'clock.
From the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
What is on the $4 trillion budget, what amount to you, can you gauge, well, like 1040, you know, since it is tax time, 1040's come in on about, is it about $500 billion or so?
Closer to 8.
Oh, $800 billion. Okay, so a quarter, almost 25% of that, taxes.
Right.
And where does the other three come from?
Yeah, there's a good question.
What does the other three come from?
Well, we have this intergovernmental borrowing, where we take the money out of the Social Security Trust Fund.
Oh, yes. Money that goes into there hasn't gone into the trust fund for...
Decades.
It just goes right into the general revenue.
Well, actually, yeah. What they did is they put a revolving door in the trust fund.
Yeah, it just kind of spins,
kinda whips,
right?
Goes through the door.
Which is a lot. It's
spins one time, goes to out to
it's
the
probably 800, another 800 billion in that range. I used to have that chart, that pie chart up in front of me. I can't find it. But it's a lot of money as well. So there is no money in the trust fund.
Not per se.
No.
Boy, this sounds
of course,
so
even
familiar.
Even the president admitted that. Remember?
Yeah, this is like
he
when I was
TV and-
when I was writing Uncle Sam Cook's The Books back in the day. They wouldn't admit to that. That was
no, they didn't.
Oh goodness, no.
No, it's a trust fund.
No, it's a trust fund, and there's money in it. Okay, so how much money is in it? Well, there's no money in there per se. Really, then what's in there? Well, IOUs are in there, and who's the IOU? Well, it's the Treasury. So we effectively took all the money out of the trust funds, and I found 170 of them, by the way.
170 trust funds that have traded for IOUs.
Yeah.
Okay, over the years.
Yeah.
Over the last 50 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have the Bureau of Indian Affairs with huge trust funds for various reservations, tribes, and things. Mm-hmm. And then you have Highway Airport Trust Fund.
And, and that money's... been taken out in your research.
Well, it's been borrowed.
Been borrowed
by the general fund.
By the general fund. So they just keep taking it out.
Correct.
And then they what do they replace it with?
A piece of paper that says IOU money.
Is it a marketable bond?
No.
Security?
No.
Just
no.
IOU.
Yeah. Well, and since it's an unregistered bond, it's really off the books borrowing. So, you know, by their very nature, the description of these things is a non-marketable U.S. Treasury certificate, which means you can't take the IOU in the Social Security Trust Fund and just cash it in the general market.
Because nobody wants it because it's...
They can't have it.
It's not worth anything.
It's not an official obligation of the U.S. government.
It's just not a non-marketable security.
Yeah, non-marketable.
Just an IOU.
Yeah, just an IOU, precisely. Mm-hmm.
So then we, the people, actually owe that because, of course, we are the Treasury.
Well, they say
we
owe it to ourselves.
We owe it to ourselves.
Yes.
Let's see.
And you know what? Using this method...
We owe it to ourselves.
I've developed this method... using this, actually, I shouldn't say I developed it. I probably should give their credit where credit is due. According to the federal government, you can save 100% of everything you earn every week.
Okay.
You can just save it.
Well, unless you want to eat.
No, you can eat. You can eat and you can save it. Here's how it works.
Okay,
so you need to save for retirement and you need to save for college for the kids. Using the method laid out by the federal government, here's how you would do it.
Okay.
You would get a shoebox, and you would label that college fund.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get another shoebox, and you would label that retirement fund.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you get your paycheck on Friday, cash it, divide the stack in half, and put one half in each box.
College fund and retirement fund.
And there you go.
Okay.
Now you've saved... both for college and retirement.
Mm-hmm. So, how do you eat? How do you eat it?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you could get another job or do something along those lines or find another source of income. But if you adopt the government method, that what you do is, let's say you need $100 for groceries. That might get you through the day.
Yeah.
So you write, I owe you $100 on a slip of paper, and then you pick a box.
And you
open
the,
it up.
Take 100 out.
Take the 100 out. Put the slip in the box. Mm-hmm. Now you're good. You could buy groceries.
Okay. And you're still saving.
And you're saving. Yeah. Oh, yes. I mean, make no mistake. You're saving. If you open the box and add up all the money in the slips, you'll see that you're saving.
Yeah.
You have a lot of money
good.
In the box.
College funds looking
That's
good.
That's right. Uh-huh. So if anybody asks, mm-hmm. you can report. There's money in the box.
So, Andrew,
wait, my tongue is stuck in my cheek.
I know. Getting gluten-free cereal here for a minute. Mm. So anytime we hear this idea that the trust fund will do this or that,
It represents a claim on the treasury.
But
that's all.
It's not like there's any real...
It's a claim on the treasury.
...real assets in there other than the IRA.
Well, let's take a look.
So it doesn't mean anything.
As the years go on, obviously, you're going to have more and more needs. And as you constantly look in one of the other box and see some green money in there, and you'll need it for something. So you'll continue to make the IOUs and the slips. And then one day, Johnny goes to college.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, on that day, you're not going to be able to save your money anymore. So you might want to make a third box and call it Pay Johnny Back, because his college fund is all slips of paper. And so each week now, whatever your paycheck is necessary just to redeem the slips in the box that Johnny requires to go to college or that the elderly require to retire. So this is the point that we've reached now, 10,000 baby boomers every day, I think, is the number now, retiring. We've reached the point, the crest of the baby boom has started to retire. So soldiers came home from war in 45. They had babies. Those babies are now retiring. And now they're going to be taking money from the box. And this is, of course, the Social Security issue that has come up in the last few
because
elections.
The cash that comes in, whatever cash does come in, goes right back out to them.
Yeah, it no longer piles up.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, when we started those boxes, there were 55 Americans working for every one retired, mm-hmm. and now we're down under 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have less than 10 people working for every one retired, and then when you throw in disability and all the other subsections of Social Security, you find that the average working person is bearing quite a burden just to pay back what has already been borrowed and spent.
18 minutes after the hour, Andrew Goss on this April 2nd morning. Well, riddle me this, Batman. Why wouldn't the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, even though it's a private bank, they have the ability to monetize debt, which you've taught us, right? That's what they do.
That's their job.
They monetize debt. They create it, and then they put it against a debt instrument like a mortgage or home
Correct.
Mortgage or whatever. Why couldn't they just create dollars on their magic checkbook and buy all of the IOUs in the trust fund, and the trust fund in Social Security would hence then have dollars?
Well, and that's why they don't worry about it. Exactly. You hit it on the head.
Because they know they can do that.
The
if they
monetization
need to,
of debt
they
is,
know they
the,
can do
is
that.
The ultimate formula for resolving the issue.
Mm.
And
that's why they just keep doing what they do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But of course. So the way
game over.
Precisely.
Game over.
So because we're in such deficit,
right?
So each year we've calculated external financing needs exceeding $1 trillion each year. So, effectively, when you count all the money that we take in the highway, airport, trust funds, and the Social Security trust fund, and Medicare trust fund, all that money that comes in, we still rely on 100% of that plus $1 trillion in external borrowing.
Which comes from the monetization of...
Not exactly.
No.
No, what people view as the free market... Wow, my tongue's really in my cheek now. The free market allows for the sale and purchase of treasury bonds in the open and free market.
And they sell those, and there's a pretty brisk market for those.
You could say that.
People buy them.
The briskest one in the universe.
Yep. So people are still buying government debt. So it doesn't
buying and selling every day.
It doesn't all come from the Fed.
On the open market.
On the open market.
They buy and sell it every day on the open market.
Billions.
trillions, tens of trillions. The U.S. dollar is that cornerstone foundation currency for the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in recent times, there's been a lot of talk about other currencies replacing the dollar. But if you look at the structure and framework of the dollar, a place where you can park, you know, $1 trillion worth of treasury bills, bonds, or notes, and not even budge the foundation of that market. If you take $1 trillion and dump it into any other currency that's openly traded on the market, you would move the needle in one direction or another. You don't have any stability.
Mm-hmm.
But in the U.S. market, you can move large amounts of money without any impact whatsoever on the overall market. And to big world players and traders, this is important. You know, they don't want their currency movements to create waves,
mm-hmm.
which then get, you know, wash out their economies.
Yeah.
So the idea of a finance minister and someone who's responsible for maintaining the ebb and flow of capital for a country, you know, that's a big job that's usually left to the bankers, the same bankers that own and control the world's banking system.
That's why this whole idea of reserve currency is so very important. And when you hear people talking about doing SDRs or a basket, you don't really know exactly where that's coming from, if that's just a little shot across the bow or what. I mean, there was a report out again on Monday, yesterday, the government governor of the finance minister, who I can't pronounce his name, he says we really need a basket of currencies, not just the dollar, euro, and yen, and pound for an SDR, but we really need to add a whole bunch of major currencies and then replace the dollar with this for pricing commodities and trade and such. Now, is this just parlor kind of stuff, or do these guys really serious about replacing this dollar?
Okay, there are a lot of people believe that.
Yeah, I mean,
and so, want to.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not a realistic possibility.
It's just not going to happen.
You know, it's just like, you know, we'll have flying cars by the year 2000.
Flying pigs.
Yeah, and what was it? Total energy independence. Mm-hmm.
You don't see it, do you?
No, it's a great idea, a great concept. And I imagine that the entity that they envision that issues this basket of currency would be supranational. Yes.
Yeah, IMF. That's what the guy said.
Yeah.
He said the IMF could run it.
Sure.
Of course, the United States kind of controls the IMF.
Yes.
Right?
Well, not so much.
Well, they have 87% of the vote, and you got to have 80, what is it?
It's not so much, though, the United States that controls the IMF, okay? It is our banks and our bankers that control the
IMF. Oh, that's, I got it.
So I guess we have to make
that.
I've done that over the years, right, where I keep constantly saying we.
We, and it's not.
And it's not really we the people. If it were, I would probably find less fault in the system or different fault.
It's really the bankers that control.
Yeah. So the idea that the central bank of the United States, the bank that issues the almighty dollar and that protects and defends this franchise, is not owned by the people directly, that's very troublesome to me. And, you know, others who believe that we should simply dissolve this institution, or I should say that the conversation has been limited in its framing over the last several decades. All that we want to talk about is either we keep the Federal Reserve like it is, or we abolish it, we dissolve it.
Mm-hmm.
And either of these two proposals, let's talk about. But nothing else is acceptable. Why? Because the something else, in my view, is the solution to our woes. And that solution will be kept off the table by any means. And as far as I can see, the means to do it so far has been to fuel both sides of this argument. So you fuel the side that says we keep the Federal Reserve, we leave things like it is, and you fuel the side that says abolish the Fed, get rid of it, liquidate it, you know, kill it. And these two arguments have taken the field, and they're fighting, and there is nothing else to be discussed.
And what would be a third option?
Nationalize the Fed.
Take it over.
Just take it into the Treasury, lock, stock, and barrel, like a sub-Treasury system as we had in the days of Jackson. And
Andrew Jackson?
Yeah.
Yeah, he took it over.
Yeah. Well, effectively, effect.
Of course, they came shooting at him, too.
Hey.
President Jackson, didn't they?
That'll happen.
That'll happen, man. In a show last year, January 17th, 2018. My goodness.
Thank you.
That's a year ago. Andrew commented that nearly 70 cents of every tax dollar we collect
is necessary
to service our existing debt at current rates.
That's right.
Could he clarify this for me? Is this company comparing debt held by the public to the GDP of U.S.?
No, it's comparing debt obligations, money that the Treasury must pay, to income. So one of the things, when we crossed that threshold in 2011, where there were more people collecting Social Security than working, remember that was a huge big deal.
Yeah.
And the reason it was such a big deal is because where's the extra money going to come from? So you got more people taking out than you have putting in. Where's the extra money come from? And the answer is, of course, the federal government must repay some of the obligations that it owes Social Security, nearly $3 trillion. So that is servicing the debt, right?
That money's it's got to come out of the Treasury.
The Treasury.
And how much is that a year do we know?
I don't have the latest trustees figures, but it's it's getting up there. Yeah, it's a lot.
About a trillion?
How
would I Google?
You got to get the Social Security trustees report.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you got to really dig for it. But I plan to do that.
It's a big number.
It is a big number. It's in the hundreds of billions and will continue to grow.
Right? Yeah.
So this is another reason why tariffs are so important to this whole equation, because you need to get that balance up where you have more people paying in than taking out.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't have that. So that's part of that number, debt service, right? Then you have the interest on the existing national debt, but then you have the principal on the existing national debt. All of that is debt service.
Sure.
Right?
Oh, here it is. At the end of 2014, according to the most recent trustees report, 59 million Americans are receiving retirement disability survivors benefits from the
now
system.
Now it's 77.
Total cost of $848 billion. I knew it was about a trillion.
Yeah, but we're taking a lot of that from the new payments coming in.
Oh, okay. 166 million paid off. Yeah.
So total Social Security contributions.
Whatever the minus would be.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the difference. Now, for all the years before that, it was a surplus. There's more money coming in than going out. Now we're in a deficit. Yeah, exactly.
Which is the number that Greenspan came up with 30 years ago. So
that's
his
right.
math was pretty good, right? Didn't he
it
say that in 2011
good.
It's going to go cattywampus?
Yeah.
So he's pretty close.
Yeah. I talked about that in Uncle Sam Cooks the Books, the second of my books. And it is mathematical fact. So I don't want to say that Greenspan was a genius.
But he just worked the numbers,
That's it. You just worked the numbers. And the one thing that he should have insisted, and we should have insisted, was that they don't.
They don't take
the money and spend it on something else, but that's what they did.
Because you've taught us that in 1986, that was the biggest tax increase in the history
of the history of the country. Yeah.
It was about 3% from each employee and 3% from employers. So
that's right.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that is.
Because he said they're going to run out in 30 years, and everybody said, okay. But they stole that. Well, they took that money and
borrowed it.
So this is the email.
And now they have to pay it back. So that's included in my debt service figures, plus interest on the debt, plus principal repayments.
That's why you get
that's
the 77
where I got my
cents.
70 cents on the dollar.
What do you think it is today?
Okay, it really was about 68 point whatever.
Last year?
70, yeah, it's easy to remember.
What do you think it is this year? Probably 75 or you don't know?
No.
About
I think
70?
It's going to hang. Yeah. It depends on the revenue side of the equation. The more jobs we add, the more people are paying in, right, to the Social Security Trust Fund. And so, plus employer contributions.
Yeah.
So the more revenue that's coming in there, the less that Congress has to pay back from what they've already borrowed.
But the salaries are not really going up. We've seen those charts over the years. And
Yeah.
They're not going up
they're
a
not,
lot.
They're not pacing inflation.
No, they're not pacing inflation. Yeah, I saw one interesting chart yesterday where it had went back to 1964, and it's got the amount of money that people were making, and that, it has gone up a bit. But then the amount of what it will buy is exactly dead even in 2018.
That's
so
right.
So people haven't gained anything.
Not a thing.
Nothing.
In
right.
fact, if you look at those kids arguing today for the $15 minimum wage, what they're really asking for is a pay cut. That's what it is.
Because that doesn't keep up with...
Well, yeah. $1.25 is my first job. It was a low-level job, and I got paid 5 silver quarters. So 5 silver quarters today are worth over $20, so... How are they ahead? Mm-hmm. They're behind. They're not getting a $20 minimum wage. They're not keeping up. And everything was lower then, including my federal FICA contribution.
Oh, sure.
Right? And the tax rate. I mean, everything was lower.
But, Andrew, I don't understand. Say, you know, if you were king and you said, well, I've looked at these numbers, and we got to pay people at least $20. They're not even keeping up with the game. And you say, okay... But if you mandatory people like McDonald's, or,
no, you don't.
I mean,
no,
you can't
don't.
Do that because
you
they would just
not.
Go out of
no.
business. Their whole model is built on I
cheap
don't know,
labor.
Cheap labor, right?
Yeah.
How would you do that?
You can't.
I mean, how do you even get there from here?
You cannot mandate. You know, I'm with the libertarians on this.
Right.
You cannot government regulations to offset the effects of your fiat money creation. That's the only reason. That things are where they are is because of the, again, stranglehold that the Federal Reserve right. has on the domestic economy.
So, as a libertarian, you would allow it to level make itself
level. No wage
level,
and price controls.
And if
That's
people right. didn't want to work at McDonald's for $10 an hour, which they wouldn't if they could get 20 somewhere, eventually McDonald's would have to reform
either pay
whole,
more,
pay
or
more,
go
or
out
raise,
of business.
Or raise the prices on their burgers or whatever they're
well,
doing.
Well, they're going to have. They're going to have to raise the prices on their burgers. See, this is all controlling, attempting to control inflation through regulation instead of just stop printing more money than you receive.
Okay, explain that. Controlling inflation through regulation.
So, obviously, you guys are creating a problem here by creating more money than there is demand, if you will.
You mean
right?
the Fed?
Because,
the Fed.
Yes,
okay.
right? So how do we fix that problem? Well, we're certainly not going to do it by going back to sound money, right? Because
it's
that would,
happen.
Of course, they don't want it. So what else can we do? Well, we could put regulations on. And that's what President Nixon did with wage and price controls, where he said, can't raise wages above this level, and you can't raise prices above this level. So
oh,
if
I
you
see.
Recall, then the shelves price. Just
yeah.
emptied
yeah.
out.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, so,
okay, so this, see, go ahead.
It's all the roots of the problem are all are monetary policy. If you fix that, then you don't have to fix anything else because it'll take care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this emailer goes on, from that statement and the government shutdown, I started going through the St. Louis Fred data. Oh, this guy's doing some stuff. My
Good.
Biggest surprise was seeing how much personal income taxes and payroll taxes contribute to the total revenue for the U.S. government. Oh, he's
there
doing our work for us.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's not the corporations, is it?
Compared to everything
you know,
else. Go ahead.
You know, well, people want to raise tax on corporations. I hear the Democrats now, you know, we're going to eliminate those. So immediately corporations will pick up and move and go back mm-hmm. to a foreign country, especially if you have no tariff and they can bring their stuff back into this country so they can exploit labor in foreign countries and then import their stuff for free.
Okay. So he's saying compared to everything else, in quarter 3, 2018, revenue from personal income taxes was $1.94 trillion and payroll
right.
taxes were $1.62 trillion. In
right.
comparison, corporate taxes were $162 billion.
Correct.
In quarter 3, 2017, these numbers were $2 trillion, $1.62 trillion, with $2.96 respectively. So
right.
while the new tax laws reduce corporate taxes by $134 billion, that still represents a change of a couple of percent to the total bucket. Look at
That's
this guy,
right.
man.
Yeah, love that
Good
research.
Good for you, Tony. Good job, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and you know, it's ironic, or maybe it isn't counterintuitive, I should say,
yeah.
that the more you lower corporate taxes... the higher your individual income tax
of course,
and payroll tax.
Yeah.
So it's not a 100% trade-off. As a corporation say, wow, look at that. We can go make money in the United States and pay less tax than any, pick your other major industrialized company. And so now the pharmaceutical companies start moving back from Switzerland and Ireland and wherever they move to.
Yeah. Wow. So you, this whole idea that other corporations
taxing the corporations.
I mean, it's like it's just
stupid.
It's just fake news.
That's right.
It's $162 billion. The people are paying $2 trillion.
That's who's being taxed.
And,
yeah, no question about it.
Man, dude.
And if you instead raised your revenue at the borders.
Well, now you're talking.
You know, let the companies that are importing goods into our country with the hopes of selling them to the American consumer.
Yeah.
They're the ones that have to do all the paperwork, pay all the tax, and then they just reflect it in their price. I like that model for collecting revenue. And then, hey, forget the income tax, honestly. What the heck? Make the border revenue tax. Tariffs.
Yeah.
The only way to get us out of
this mess. You've told us that tariffs supported this country until 1913, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when they did the, what was it, for the war?
No, that was the 16th Amendment.
Oh. That's when they did the Federal Reserve.
The Federal Reserve and the income tax were hand in hand.
Oh, in 1913. And what'd they call it? What'd they call it?
Oh, I couldn't tell you now. Sorry.
But that's when they started taxing.
What did they call the income tax?
The income tax. They didn't call it income tax, did they?
No, they did not.
I think they ran Donald Duck commercials and told people what to do with them.
Yeah, that was the Victory Tax Act of 1939, the Victory Tax. That was a tax specially imposed on incomes in order to, on all incomes, right? Not just...
to pay the...
The rich. Yeah, the 13 revenue was all about the rich, the 13. So the people, of course, didn't go in an uproar because they weren't rich. So it was like, oh yeah, you want to tax those guys, go ahead. But it wasn't until 39 that it was applied across the board to everyone, and that withholding period began.
Tony,
where we don't trust you to pay us, we're just going to take it out of your paycheck.
Go and take it. Tony goes on to say, I think I can see now where tariffs and unemployment percent can add more money to the government than corporate taxes.
Yay.
With more jobs and low unemployment, people will earn more income, but also contribute to more payroll taxes.
Yes.
Rising wages would only increase those numbers as well. Tariffs would also boost the... elect this dude. Tariffs would also boost to other income streams of taxes from other countries and taxes from production and import. Am I thinking about this correctly?
Yes, you are. And you think about how we share our taxation ability by... I mean, I don't want to bash another nation. I'm not into that. But America first, right? So we say to a corporation, we're going to tax you so high that you're going to move to a foreign country. You're going to take your jobs with you. And now all the jobs being done in that foreign country for goods and products sold in the United States to American consumers is being performed by citizens of another country. And so their tax payments, their payroll tax payments, their revenue goes to the treasury of that country. So you're taking money out of the pockets of American consumers, and you're putting it in the pockets of whatever foreign country the factory has moved to. By getting the jobs back, not only does the revenue that lifts all boats comes back because of everyone is fluent, has money, but revenue to the treasury increases, allowing for things like tax cuts. So I don't understand how they have us convinced that it should be otherwise, but it seems clear as a bell to me.
Sounds like President Trump understands a lot of what we're talking about here.
It's about time a president... You know what? I don't think the previous presidents didn't understand.
They just didn't
have
the guts
to care.
Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And at the top of that heap is Mitt Romney, you know, the original guy.
Did you see this today? He started opinion piece in the New York Times this morning.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Trying to make himself relevant again.
Donald Trump tweeted like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Shut up and sit down would have been my response.
Mitt.
Why don't you wait till your first day in the Senate or go back to Utah? But he was the king of those. Raid an American company, strip its pension funds, ship its jobs overseas, fire everyone in sight, and get the tariffs reduced to nothing so that you can then re-import back into the country the goods that you are now making in a foreign country and sell them to Americans again. That was Mitt Romney, the originator. He was like one of the early pirates.
Boy, it looks like he's going to...
Bain capital.
Yeah, looks like he's going
to
really...
He was the Bain to our existence, for sure. And I didn't think he had changed his stripes. Of course he's opposed to President Trump's ideas. Of course he is. So he wants, plantations, you know, move the slaves to Indonesia and import the goods back into the United States so we don't have to look at them. We don't have to listen to the riffraff.
Hmm.
I despise Mitt Romney and everything he stands for. We don't care what kind of character he is. I really don't.
The expense side, Tony finishes the email. Thanks, Tony. Good job.
Thanks for the research.
On the expense side, just Social Security, $980 billion. See, that's what we were talking about, right?
Right.
Medicare, $600 billion. Woo.
That's right. Ooh, there's a trillion six.
There's a trillion.
I count that as part of debt service.
Oh, wait a minute. Medicare, $753. That can't be right.
That can be.
He says $980 billion social. Medicaid, right. 600. Medicare, 753.
That's what you paid for.
Alone accounted for 2.3 spending. Wow.
Right. So, and to me, that's part of debt service because that money was put away. It was already put aside, but it was borrowed and spent. So the deficit has to be covered from general treasury revenue, part of the debt service. That's how we get back to that 70-cent figure that the previous... writer question, because on the face of it, you go, well, what are you talking about? We're only spending $400 billion a year in interest, right?
Sure.
That's not debt service. Sorry. That's just the interest on the debt. So, and the public debt held by the public. So the real figure, which Tony is revealing to us. Thank you, Tony.
Right? Yeah.
You're much better at it than I am. Yeah. I appreciate it.
2.3.
Yeah, that's what it's coming out of the Treasury every year, but what's going in? Collections, what did we say? 980 and 800, 840. I think you got that. It's a lot. It's hundreds of billions of dollars, the difference that the Treasury has to come up with each year.
Tony, do you know the difference? Maybe he's got that number. You know, he's doing a lot of math. If you know the difference
between what comes in and what goes out
for social
and
Medicare and Medicaid. And then
that's right.
I guess you also have to add in there food stamps and all that. Is that all part of it, too?
Well, no, that's not debt service.
Separate.
No, that's separate. Yeah,
that's separate. That's in the
is that mandatory farm spending? No, the point I was making was that just to service our existing debt,
right?
Without any, our existing obligations.
Well, I don't know if you saw this, but and I lost the article, but they're already talking. See, you are like Nostradamus. Already, the boys are talking about. Mm-hmm. Guess what? For Social Security. Means testing, right?
Means testing.
They're already talking about it. They start to talk about it. We're just gonna have to cut it for people that don't need it.
I saw the article,
you know. And you know this is coming.
Which means they're gonna come count your assets for you and of
sure.
course,
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is One RadioNetwork.com.